Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I heard a voice. So I was making sure.
Shalom.
I ain't here.
No.
All praise you. Shalom, sister. But you know, hey, y'all, grace and peace, y'all. You know, as always, I like to thank my brothers and sisters for taking the time out of their busy life to check us out. You know, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday now, all praises, and Thursday. The Father's good, and He's using us. And it's a blessing to be a part of His wonders. Not our wonders, but His wonders.
Amen.
Make all of us to be able to see this thing. But But you know, man, that the Lord is good, man. I have an announcement to make before we get started. I actually took the time out to go online to the Sound of Living Waters blog talk. I have done 30 lessons. All praises to the Father in Jesus' name. 30 lessons.
Amen.
I wrote them all down according to the date too. And tonight is number 31. And I still have at least 40 precepts that's still not even done yet. Just a name. So God is good, man, and you know he's real. But the simple fact is, you know, I don't go off and tell everybody my prayer and stuff like that, but you know, I actually asked the Lord, you know what I'm saying? You know, you made Solomon the wisest man that ever lived, and his wisdom was so broad that it was as the sand of the sea. And I said, Lord, if you gave Solomon a 10, give me a 7. And I honestly believe he gave me a 7. Because every single day I write down at least 5 precepts. Every day. I'm not being far-fetched. Every day, at least 5 precepts I have to write down. I have to keep a pen and paper in my pocket because a precept will pop in my head. Like I read for Josiah last night. My precept popped in my head then that night. So, you know, it's a possibility. It's 50 precepts that's not even done yet. So, you know, I'll pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and, you know, it just shows me that, you know, I'm not saying I'm super righteous or nothing like that, man. I fall just like everybody else do. But what I think, one thing I do understand is that he's looking at the ones at least trying to do this thing right.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, and I thank God for that because, you know, I mess up and do stupid stuff. You know, with the grace of God, I can get past that, and I know we all do. You know, that's just, you know, we try not to be hypocrites, and we always try to make sure, you know what I'm saying, that we don't have that pride in our heart. So, you know, that was just a little something I wanted to talk to you guys about, you know what I'm saying, that the Father is good and he hears us. You know what I'm saying? Even though it seems like some things might be slow, hey, it ain't slow, it's just we need to wait on his time. So all praise to the Father in Jesus' name on that. The name of the precept tonight is called The Prayer of David. The Prayer of David in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. And the reason why we broke this into two parts is because of this right here. You know, it might go into three, but so far it's two because I'm still working on the second one. But basically what we're doing tonight is to really buckle down and break down this prayer that David was announcing to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And go through the scriptures on this prayer about have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me, O God. And how we get that mercy? We go check that out. I'm not saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? And then we also understand during this prayer in the book of Psalms 51 is that he's announcing his sin. So if he's announcing his sin that he has done, then of course he's not dealing with it in pride. So if you're not dealing with the pride, then the Lord can use that to help. The Lord see that and he can help us with that on whatever issue we're going through. And it's some good stuff. You know, I hope that the Lord open our eyes up and we all get a chance to learn something tonight. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to keep on rattling because I can go all day and night. So what I'm going to do is start us out in the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
And then, and Brother Joe, you're reading for me. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm reading for you tonight, brother. Absolutely.
All praise to the Father. He always good. So I'm going to get us a scripture reading from the book of Matthew chapter 6 in the Lord's Prayer. And then Brother Job Israel will be reading the scripture on whatever the Most High put on his heart. So I'm going to give the sisters a chance to get that done. And I'm going to give also the brothers a chance to get their part done.
Amen.
Brother, you know, hey, all praises and congratulations on, you know, you putting down episode 31, you know. That's all from the Father. That's 30 lessons he sat down and talked to you about. Like the Most High said, man, if you let him, he will come and he sup with you. You know, but when he come knocking at the door, you got to be willing to let him in so he can do it.
Amen.
So amen to you allowing him at this point 70 times to knock on your door.
Amen.
You did.
Amen.
And to sit down with you, man. That's a great witness, a great testimony that he is talking and dealing with you. So, amen. I'm a witness. Great precepts on top of that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Everyone getting better and better.
Amen.
You know, I honestly believe, man, you know, from the prophet Paul, you know, about God allows Satan to buffet you, well, buffet us. Because, you know, I'm an idiot at times. You know, I ain't out there doing nothing crazy or nothing like that. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, we all fall short. You know what I'm saying? It's like the fear keeps me going. You know what I'm saying? The fear is the reason why I got 6 books. The fear is the reason why the Lord allowed me to do 30 precepts and still going on and on and on and on. So, you know, it's all praises, man. And whatever the Lord showed me, I hope he just be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm pretty sure we all feel the exact same way on that as well.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's get this started because we have somewhat, oh, man, we got to go. We got a lot. We got a lot to do tonight, y'all. We got a lot to do, and we getting this done today. We'll get it done. I'm gonna probably be doing a little bit of yelling, you know, but it's all in love. Blame Nakomi for that, little Israel.
Stop.
You already know. Well, we got a lot to do, y'all, so let's go ahead and get started. So all the sisters to cover the head, all the brothers to uncover the head, and let's pray ourselves in. Okay. After this matter, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
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 Psalm 71:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given me commandments to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, O my God. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord, thou art my trust from my youth. I read Psalms 71:1-5. May the Father add a blessing to the reading and the doing of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, time to tell these scriptures to shred. All praises.
Yeah.
All praises. All praises. You already know what's going on tonight. The name of the precept is called the Prayer of David in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. So we're going to buckle down to get it and try to get a better understanding on this prayer that David, a man after the Lord's own heart, announced to the Lord. And we're going to break that down. But today we're only dealing with verses 1-5. But no, well, the prayer that we're going to deal with is from verses 1-13. But today we're only dealing with 1-5. So what we're going to do now is going to the book of Psalms chapter 51, and we're going to read just that one verse, verse 1. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 1, and we're going to break this whole thing down real nice and smooth. Hopefully, smooth as fuck.
Psalms 51:1.
Sorry about that, bro. Go ahead.
Amen. Psalms 51:1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Amen. So now, that this prayer that David is giving, the first thing he announced to the Lord is have mercy upon me. Oh God, according to that loving kindness, according to the multitude that did the mercies, blot out my transgressions. So once we read the very first part of this, he's asking for mercy. So if we're asking for mercy, praying for the Lord, that means we have to do something, right? I'm not adding nothing into this. We're going to read everything. But David's asking for mercy. So if David's asking for mercy, then what David have to be doing? Let's find out. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 20, and let's pick up in verse 6. We're going to the book of Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to pick up in verse 6. Read the book of Exodus chapter 20, verse 6. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Exodus 20 and verse 6. And show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Oh, so when David was sitting down, so when David was praying to the Lord, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to loving kindness, according to the multitude that to the mercy, but not on my transgressions. So in order for David to make that prayer and ask for mercy according to the Lord's loving kindness, that means he had to be keeping his commandments. Because in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 6, he said, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So the Lord is going to hear his servant's prayer according to his actions, according to his works, according to keeping the commandments. So once you keep the commandments to the best you can, now you can announce yourself to the Lord and ask for this forgiveness that David was asking for. Now let's go into the book of 1 John chapter 1, and let's pick it up in verse 1. The book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It's because this is one thing I realized about this thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, the stuff that David prayed about, man, is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Because it gives us a better understanding of it. It's because once we're looking at this thing, he's asking for mercy, and then we just found out in the book of Exodus chapter 20, in order to receive that mercy, you got to keep his commandments.
Amen.
So if you're not keeping his commandments, you can't do really, you know what I'm saying? You don't have that understanding on even how to come to the Lord. But what we're doing is we're going to the book of 1 John chapter 1.
For some reason, brother, it sounds like your microphone got lower.
Okay, cool. Is that better?
That's much better. Okay.
Okay, I just got a hold of it. Thank you, bro.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I mean, you know, yeah, it just sounds like you got, like, really kind of far away. But that's pretty
okay.
Good. Okay, good. All right, 1 John chapter 1 and verse?
We read verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 and 9. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
So when David was making his prayer to the Lord, he had to understand that, hey, I'm a sinner, I fall short. So I can't come to the Lord like this, what we just read in verse 8, that says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We want some type of truth in us, so we got to understand this thing. Read verse 9, bro.
If we confess our sins, it is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's what David wanted. So once we read the book of Exodus chapter 20, no, matter of fact, when he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to their loving kindness, according to the multitude of that tender mercy, but at my transgressions. So the first thing he needed to do, is that I got to keep these commandments so I can show the Lord that I'm trying. And then once I see that I'm keeping the commandments, I can confess, so now I can pray unto the Lord and hopefully hope that he helped me. And when you read verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, David was confessing his sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. David got a sure seat in the kingdom. He gonna be in the first resurrection. He gonna be in the first resurrection. If he like it or not, he gonna be in it. So it's obvious whatever he did for the Lord, it was just and right. But the whole thing is this right here. He confessed his sins and understood that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does this thing make sense to you guys? Does this come along pretty good for you guys?
Yes.
All praises. Let's move along. Now let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and pick it up at verse 12. And give me a second, Job. I know you got some. I think you're the fastest page puller.
Praise
going
God.
Super fast. Praises. All right. I'm there now. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. For
right, so that's good enough, bro. That's good enough. All we need is verse 12, because we got a whole bunch to go. All praises. So when we read verse 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That's one. Kindness, two. Humbleness, three. Humbleness of mind, three. Meekness, four. Long-suffering, five. You know what I'm saying? So remember, the Lord is going to treat us according to how we treat others. Just like how we read in the book of Matthew chapter 20, as of many times as we read the book of Matthew chapter 25, when the Lord separated the sheep from the goats. You know what I'm saying? He rewarded the sheep because they were doing all these things. But what we need to understand is that when we sit down and pray to God, we got to make sure that we have at least some of these things in this category. It's because the book is telling us is that we need to have bowels of mercy. So don't be sitting out there praying to Christ, asking for help and stuff like that, and you ain't got no type of mercy. You just super merciless. And you not kindness. And now humbleness of mind, you ain't showing no type of meekness, and you ain't knowing the long suffering, but you got the audacity and the gall to get on your knees and pray to the Lord like something gonna happen. So before you even do any of that stuff, make sure you right. And if you need help with it, then I understand it's necessary to pray then, because you might want to pray for some of this stuff right here. But the whole thing is that you can't be a hypocrite, and you got to be showing some type of righteousness before you sit down on your knees and try to pray to the Lord. And David understood that. That's why he was able to get on his knees and ask the Lord to have mercy upon me, because he knew that he was the Lord's buddy. He already knew that. So he was sure enough to have the audacity to get on his knees and pray to the Lord. So this is the first part we're looking at in verse 1. In order to get this mercy, you got to show this mercy. And if you go pray to the Lord said he's going to show his mercy to those that keep his commandments. So that's that first part of verse 1 I want to pull back. Now let's go right back into the book of Psalms chapter 51, and we're going to read verses 2, and then we're going to skip. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 5. No, I'm sorry, not 5. The book of Psalms chapter 51. And we're going to read verses 2, and then we're going to skip to verse 7.
Psalms 51 and verse 7?
2.
2, then we're going to skip to 7. So y'all both right, boy. Okay. Hand and glove. Sitting together.
Psalms 51 and verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
I'll skip down to 7.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Whoa, so now David is asking for a pretty interesting thing right now. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then we skip down to verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What washing is he talking about? Let's break that stuff down. Let's go into the book of John chapter 7. Because he wants the Lord to wash him, but what the Lord go wash him with? He go just grab a rag and wash him with it? Or is he talking about on a spiritual topic right here? because David asked me, he said, well, wash me and I shall be clean, right? So let's check out this washing that David is talking about. Let's go to the book of John, let's go to the book of John chapter 7, and we're going to pick this thing up at verse 37. Because we're going to break down this entire wash thing so we can understand this wash that David was talking about. So we're in the book of John chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 37 to 39. John 7, and we're going to read 37 through 39.
St. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified.
Right, because we understand that when Jesus was in the flesh, and it was, the spirit couldn't have come yet. It's because when the spirit, when Jesus went back on high, then he sent this stuff down. But the most, but the biggest focus I wanted to get in was verse 37. It said that in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Right, drink what? 38. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he's actually talking about washing and stuff like that, but what water is we talking about? All we're doing now is breaking the story down, but the exact, but at the same point in time is that he's talking about this living water, washing, cleansing. What is this he's talking about? Let's go in the book of John chapter 4 and pick it up in verse 10.
St. John.
4:10.
Yes, ma'am. St. John chapter 4, verse 10 through 14. John 4, 10 through 14. Did you get it, bro? What the book say?
St. John chapter 4 and 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living water.
Oh, so we're talking more about living water. We're talking more about this living water. You know what I'm saying? He said, man, if you knew who you was talking to, man, you would have asked for this water. You would have asked for this living water. But go ahead and read verse 11 for me, please.
Verse 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast none to draw with, and the well is deep. For when then hast thou that living water?
So we can't look at this thing as a physical thing as this woman is. It's because this washing that David was talking about in the book of Psalms 51, verse 2 and 7, he said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. He's not talking about a physical water that the woman that's talking to Jesus right now. It's not talking about a physical water, but it's talking about a cleansing. It's talking about a washing. The Most High is talking spiritually, but she's thinking physically. Or fleshly. Go ahead and read, bro.
Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Oh, so once you think of this thing spiritually, David want to get cleansed like this. He want to get cleansed to the fact that he can get everlasting life. But before we get to, before we talk about more on that topic, we still have to understand this living water because we still don't understand it yet. Because we're still breaking this entire thing down. But this whole conversation is going as a washing, a cleansing, is water. David talking about hyssop. Wash me and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So keep that thing in mind. We're still talking about the cleansings. We're talking about water. We're talking about washing. Now, let's find out what this word is. Well, we're going to get to that too. Let's go to Book Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1. I still want to break down some points before we get to the big point here. We're going to the Book of Isaiah chapter 44, and we're going to pick it up at verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4.
Isaiah 44:1. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I've chosen. Thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I've chosen. For I pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will put my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thine offspring. And
whoa,
they shall spring up.
Stop! It's getting juicy. Now we're talking about the latter. Now we're talking about the latter end, when the Lord talking about his people. In verse 3 it says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon that seed, and my blessing upon the offspring. So now we're still talking about this water thing, because I really want to break this thing down to get a great understanding on what David was talking about in verses 2:7 about washing me. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know what I'm saying? Cleanse me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? I want to get a great understanding on that. And what we're reading right now is we're talking about washing. We're talking about water. We're talking about cleansing. But the same point in time is that we still don't understand it yet. So let's see if we get a better understanding of this right here. Let's go to Book Ephesians chapter 5 and pick it up at verse 25. Ephesians 5:25.
Ephesians 5:25?
Yeah, but just give me one second. I'm almost there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. I'm there. I'm getting faster and faster. Okay, that's what's up. Okay, Ephesians 5:25, bro. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Whoa! Hold up! Stop! We just found the puzzle. So verse 26, it says, can you read that for me again, bro? Read a little slowly for me so we can catch on to it.
Yes, sir. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it.
Cleanse?
With the washing of water by the word.
Oh! So all this cleaning and washing and purifying and overflows of water is the word?
Yes, it is.
So this washing is the word of God. So when David was like, wash me and I shall be white. Matter of fact, hold up. I want to read this, make sure I get this right all the way. I'm right here right now. So what did David say? He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me. Excuse me. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. How are you going to do that? By the word of God. And you skip to verse 7. It says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as snow. How is the Lord going to do that? He's going to wash him by the renewing of the word of God. The scriptures, the word, the commandments. This is the washing that David wants from the Lord. So for all this cleaning and washing and purifying ain't nothing but the word of God.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Amen.
All praises to the Father. This is the washing that David won. And matter of fact, I'm going to put all of us up in here that's looking and searching this thing. Every servant of God want to be washed like this. I know I do.
Amen.
And I know y'all do too. And everybody else that's trying to serve them.
Move.
We want to be purified and washed.
Yes.
But the only way for David to get this washing is by what? No, I ain't gonna say that because I don't want to get you far into the story. But anyways, David asked the Lord to have mercy on him, right? According to loving kindness, according to the multitude of the mercies, and we understood that in order to get this mercy from the Lord, you got to keep His commandments, and also that you just can't ask for mercy and don't show mercy. So David was doing all these things as well, and then we turned around and understood that David wanted to be washed. And we just understood in the verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 25 through 26 that the washing is the word of the God of the word of God.
Amen.
So now we're breaking this thing down and we're buckling this thing down, and now we're getting a better understanding. So this washing is nothing but the word of God. Now let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Second Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to read that one verse, verse 1.
Amen.
Second Corinthians chapter 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
This says that having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. So how are we going to do that? By studying the scriptures, understanding these scriptures, studying to show ourselves approved, searching for this thing like gold and silver. And ain't nothing is to be compared to it. Start doing that, now we can cleanse ourselves from this filthiness in this world. By the word of God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And the only way to do that is by the word of God. Stand close to the Most High. Stand in this book. Learn how to do this thing right. This is the cleansing. Mm. This is the washing. This is how we purify ourselves in the word of God.
Say that.
Now let's go to the book of James chapter 4 and pick it up in verse 8. The book of James chapter 4 and pick it up in verse 8.
James chapter 4 verse 8.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you get it, go ahead and read.
James chapter 4 verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Amen. Amen, bro. Amen. Verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. So, hey, draw near to God, and hey, He'll draw near to you. Joe was talking about that earlier. You know what I'm saying? When I was giving my testimony, all praises, we're right with the scriptures. You draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And you cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. And the only way for you to do that is through the scriptures. The scriptures is the only way to understand how to cleanse yourself. Not talking to your friends or talking to the worldly people or your counselor and stuff like that. In order for you to really buckle down and clear this thing up is by studying this book and getting to these scriptures and understand the master's way on how to cleanse yourself. Because the Lord said, if you draw near to Him, hey, I'll draw near to you. Come on, man. Hey, you want to cleanse yourself? Hey, get in the book. Let me wash you thoroughly. And when I get done washing you, you'll be washed again. So this is what this thing is. It's cleansing. So when David was like, wash me, and I shall be white as snow, all he's saying is that, hey, Lord, give me this book. Help me understand this book, and I'm going to do this thing right. That's all it is right in that metaphor, Dan. Then I'm going to do this thing right. But in order for you to do this thing right, Lord, hey, be with me. Give me the understanding I need to understand. Chastise me when I'm wrong. And show me some mercy, Lord.
Amen.
But in order to do this thing right, is to buckle down into the scriptures and learn how to do this thing right. That's that washing. That's going to wash the wickedness from our hearts. It's not no physical thing. This thing we're talking about is spiritual. Because Christ already said, hey, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But the word I'm going to give you is the word of God, boy, you can never thirst again. And that's what we want to get at. Now let's find out more about this prayer, the prayer of David. Now let's go right back into the book of Psalms chapter 51. Let's go back to the book of Psalms chapter 51. All right, Psalms 51, and bro, we go read verses 3-5.
Psalms 51, verse 3. Psalms 51, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
What is David doing?
Confessing his faults.
David is showing pure humility right now. He is showing, Lord, he is destroying every piece of pride in his heart. He coming clean. This is the last part we're looking at tonight. Skip that pride. Lord, I'm coming clean. And all David's showing the Lord is pure humility. What we just read was straight humility. No pride. He said, man, I acknowledge my transgressions. Man, my sin is ever before me. And Lord, against you, you only have I sinned. And I've done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified without speakers and be clear without judges. And lo and behold, I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin, thou must conceive me. How many of us pray like this? To know that we bogus. And to let the Lord know, Lord, I'm bogus. I'm foul. I'm not perfect.
Amen.
I need you.
Amen.
And this is the last part we're looking at for this lesson. We're going to look at this humility of that and how this prayer was no pride. So now let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 2.
Proverbs 11 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom.
Amen. When you look at this right here. Amen. 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 I wanted to stop you in half of that. So I'm going to read half of this, and we're going to go somewhere else and come back, because the Lord showed me something. So when you read verse 2, it's this right here. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So when David was praying to the Lord, man, hey, I can't come to the Lord with pride in my heart. I got to come right. I got to come clean. But let's look at this pride. Keep your marker right here. We're going to come back and read the rest of verse 2. So keep your marker in the book of Proverbs chapter 11. And let's go into the book of Luke chapter 18. Keep your marker in Proverbs 11. Because we're going read the rest of verse 2, and then go somewhere else. Is because what we just read was this right here. And if y'all hear me jumping over, y'all, this cold is in my throat. I'm like on the last part of this cold. I'm going to get through it. But when we read in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it said, when pride cometh, it cometh shame, right? So now we're going to the book of Luke chapter 18.
Luke chapter 18?
Yes, sir. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 9 through 12, and then we're going to skip. Because remember, the book said, when pride cometh, they come in shame. So when David was praying, he, man, I can't come like this. And if people do come like this, let's check it out. When you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and another a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican.
Right. You hear this foolishness, right? Like the Lord, respect on this. Go ahead and read.
Verse 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And
right.
We good, bro.
We good. We coming back to this one right here. But this is why we read this, because in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, right? And then we read about this Pharisee. The Pharisee ain't dealing with nothing but pride. But the Lord said, man, you're going to come down to shame. You know what I'm saying? So all he's doing is boasting. So when David was praying, I want like, well, Lord, you know, I slayed the Philistine. You know, I got all these wives and stuff like that. I'm the man. You know, can't nobody touch me. He wasn't praying like that. You know what I'm saying? Because the Lord would have probably, something probably would have happened to him that night. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, and another thing we're learning too is how to pray and how not to pray. We can't comfortable to pray like we Mr. Know-it-all, like we just so just and perfect and right, because then the Lord goes shut you straight down. Because the book said, when pride cometh, there cometh shame. That is a very shameful and very bogus prayer that you can ever announce to the Lord to make it seem like you're doing something. That's a bogus prayer that this Pharisee is doing. And that's a very prideful prayer that we should not be doing. Not at all. Skip down to verse 14 and go ahead, bro.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be obeyed, shall be abased. He that humble himself shall be exalted.
Oh, so the book said, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Abased means ashamed. These powerful people like that, man, y'all will come up shameful, man. Don't come out like that. That's bogus. Come right with your prayer. We all falling short. We all got something we need to work on. And David, a man after the Lord's own heart, who has an automatic spot into the kingdom, is praying with pure humility. Now let's go to the book of James chapter 4 and pick it up at verse 6. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 6. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
But he gave us more grace, wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Oh, so, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. We got to be humble with this thing. We want the Lord to hear us. We want the Lord to help us. We want the Lord on our side. We want the Lord to be a reward towards us. And, hey, You can't be praying like that. You can't be having no prideful prayer. Who the hell are us to be proud? What you got? What do we have to be proud of? We ain't number dirt.
Amen.
We ain't number grass that's going to wither away. We're like a shadow, a grasshopper. Filth. Even after we finish doing everything the Lord told us to do, we still lean on His grace and mercy. So what do we have to be proudful of? Let's be mindful of that. Now let's go back into the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. And we're going to read the bottom part of that. Because we already read, when pride cometh, there comes shame. And we understand why it's shameful. Because we ain't got nothing to be happy over anyway. Like we doing something special. Like we Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. Or Mr. or Super Hebrew. Ain't none of that stuff. If you smart, smart. But when we read the first part of this, it says, when pride cometh, there cometh shame. Now let's read the rest of that at the bottom. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
What verse is that again?
We're going right back to Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to read the bottom part of that verse 2.
Okay, okay. I'm at 7. 11 and 2. When
Amen.
Pride cometh, Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom.
Oh, you know, so with the humble, the lowly, the humble. Man, that's the wisdom right there. So when David was praying to the Lord, man, I want to be like this. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be sitting down here about 15, 20 minutes, Lord, ain't hearing nothing I got to say. But maybe if I come with some humility, lowly, and meekness, bowels of mercy, joy to others, keeping the commandments, then maybe He might hear my prayer. Let me be humble with this thing and announce my sins to the Lord, that I understand what I'm doing wrong, and to chastise me and to help me with my shortcomings. The bottom of verse 2 says, but with the lowly is wisdom. So now let's go into the book of James chapter 4 and pick it up at verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God. Forgive me. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Oh, so that's why this humility that David was praying in from verses 3 to 5. And, you know, hey, he was showing pure humility to the Lord. Because by showing pure humility to the Lord with your prayer, the book said in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So that's why David had such a phenomenal life. Even though he had a couple bumps on the road, we all do. But at the end of the day, he got his reward coming. That's a blessing. I wish I had that type of assurance. I got to keep fighting, and hopefully that the Lord will show me some grace and mercy into His kingdom.
Amen.
This humility is really big, and David is showing pure humility to the Lord. So we need to understand this thing. But David understood it. We need to understand this. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Because He already know anyway, why not complain? In the book of Zacharias, he called them the four horsemen. It was like the red horses or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But they go to and fro, and they always go back to the Lord and say, everything is all right. The earth is standing still. They see everything. The Lord see everything. So just come clean and be humble with the Lord and understand this prayer that David is announcing to the Lord. Amen. So now let's go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and pick it up at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3.
First Peter chapter 3 and verse 3.
Yes, sir. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4.
First Peter 3 and 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit.
Hey,
bro.
I'm sorry, bro. I was on Second Peter. Could you start over again? That's my mistake. I'm like, hold up. This is not what I wrote down. Can you read it for me again, bro?
Sounds good to me. All right,
amen.
Okay,
2
Peter chapter 3 and verse 3.
1 Peter. No, bro. You was right. I was wrong.
When?
Which verse?
No, yeah, you was right. You was right. I was wrong. I was in Second Peter, but you was in the right spot.
Oh.
Okay. So, First Peter chapter 3 and verse 1.
First Peter chapter 3, verse 3. No, you was all
okay.
Good. You guys is right. I was wrong. I'm tripping. You guys is right.
Well, humble yourself in the sky of God, and He will lift you up. Amen. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that our adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel. But let
why?
It
be. Because remember, right. Because remember, you have to remember this right here. Remember when Samuel went down there to anoint the next king of Israel? The Lord had to check Samuel. He was looking at their body structures, nice and tall, probably the square bottom cheek. You know how I draw my characters. You know what I'm saying? Looking all nice and good. What was Samuel saying? What was Samuel the seer saying? Oh, surely the Lord will choose him. Surely the Lord will choose him. This one. Hey, man, how y'all look at people ain't how I look at it. Y'all look at the outward, but I look in the inward. The inward man is what counts.
That's right.
David was a small and puny one, but that was the one that had the heart to take care of the business. So what we're reading in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it said, whose adoring, let it not be that outward adoring of planting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Verse 4. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, verse 4, thanks.
Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man, the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price.
Right. So this is what we need to understand as well. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God of great price. Just imagine doing that, right? You showing it, you doing this thing, right? You know what I'm saying, with the meek and a quiet spirit. You know what I'm saying? And you're trying to do this thing right. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's hard to forgive people at times, you're forgiving people. You're trying your best to keep the commandments. You take some L's, you take some wins. But in all, you're trying to do the best you can. I want to be like that. And then be able to get on my knees and pray to God and know for a fact that He will take care of every last thing I need.
Amen.
Because when David was sent down to prayer, man, when you read about David, man, David was unanimous. And even though he was unanimous, and he was also a man after the Lord's own heart, It teaches us so much on humility. Somebody that's doing something so right, but still buckle down and ask, Lord, hey, I ain't nothing without you. I failed this way. I failed that way. Have mercy on me, O God, and wash me. I want to be like that. Don't y'all want to be like that too? To be able to pray to God like that? And to announce your sins? Well, Lord, hey, I've been lusting, Lord. Forgive me. Help me. Wash me. Strengthen me. Whatever your issue or cause is. But to be able to use this prayer that David is using to the Most High.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Amen. Yes, now let's look at some more of this stuff. Let's go in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2. It's because this humility is great with the Lord. And that's why when we're reading the rest of this, that's why the rest of these verses is about humility. It's because it's a great price. You know, knowledge is wonderful. Knowing all these other things in the Bible and breaking down the great tribulation as usual, you guys seem to say, those things are nice and sweet. Well, meekness is even sweeter. Y'all take the Kool-Aid, I want the honey.
Amen.
Now let's see, before David passed away, let's look at what he told his son. And then we're going to turn around and see what Solomon announced to the Lord when the Lord asked him a question. Because remember, verses, we only dealing with verses 3-5 on the humility of David when he was praying. And we going, and what we're doing tonight is to look at this humility as well and see how far it can get us. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, and we're gonna read verses 1-4. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
First Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgment, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whether thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, that there should not fail thee, said he, a man to sit on the throne of Israel.
Amen. So you know, so before David passed away, man, he said, hey, man, I, son, the kingdom go to you, man. Do your best to serve God. Keep his commandments. Keep his laws. Keep his statutes. Put him first. Put him first.
Yes.
And then you have good things coming. So David is teaching his son how to be in pure subject unto the Lord, and also how to do this thing with meekness and humility, long-suffering, every single thing. This is what he's teaching his son before he passed away.
Amen.
Now let's go in the book of first. Now let's see the reward of that humility. Let's look at the reward of humility. Let's go in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10.
First Kings chapter 3 and what again?
Verse 3. And we can read verses 3-28.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father, of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Excuse me. And it came with to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for there was a great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask, what shall I give thee? And Solomon said, that is certain mercy unto thy servant David my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go or to go out or to come in. And thy servant is...
Check this thing out. That's a beautiful thing to say. And I bet it probably touched a little heart, man, to hear that. You know what I'm saying? That pure humility. You know what I'm saying? He ain't asking for no type of brute strength or to take down nothing like that. So he said, man, Lord, man, you know, I'm young. I don't know how to do this thing, right? You know, we got these people, you know what I'm saying? I know not how to go out or come in. You know what I'm saying? That's pure humility and humbling himself in front of the Lord. But go ahead and read verse 8.
Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this?
Great
a people.
Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days.
Now look at what happened in the cause. Look at what the Lord did to Solomon just for humbling himself in the sight of the Lord. He did what he requested and gave him much, much, much more. This is a beautiful thing. He wasn't concerned about the money. He wasn't concerned about none of that other stuff that we'd be concerned about. But since I'm sitting in this spot, Lord, how can I do this thing right? How can I serve you and judge your people? That's all he asked for. And because he was humble enough to show the Lord this thing, the Lord gave him that. He gave him understanding as the sand of the sea. None before and none after him. Understanding. Why? Because he humbled himself in front of the Lord. Humility is a big thing. So I'm looking at this thing as hand and glove, like what David prayed for. I'm gonna go there right now myself. I'll read that again. Because David was praying in humility, and it's also that he taught his son how to also appear in front of the Lord, well, come in front of the Lord with humility. It said, because, like in verse 3 in Psalms 51, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me against thee. The only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin that I must conceive. You know, he ain't hold nothing back. Lord, I got a problem. Help me. Solomon, on the other hand, Lord, I don't have a clue how to rule these people. You gave me a great people, but teach me how to judge the people right, and how to do this thing that's a delight in your eyes, and how to do this thing right. Anything please the Lord. That's a blessing. 14.
Verse 14. And if thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will live in thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And He came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered a burnt offering and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants.
Amen.
Then came there two women, they that were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "My Lord, oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. It came to pass the third day that after I was delivered that this woman was also delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house." The woman. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child sup, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the woman,
so after the Lord, the reason why we're reading this thing is to show how Solomon is thinking now. Because he showed humility to the Lord blessed him with so much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we read this stuff because he had it all played out. Go ahead and read, bro. Verse 22.
The other woman said, "Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead be thy son." And this said, "No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, "The one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living." And the king said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, "Divide the child in two, and give the half to the one and the half to the other." Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned for her son. And she said, "O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, for she is the mother thereof." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was with him, was in him, to do judgment.
Amen. Did y'all catch that? Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? So remember, let's start the thing over. It started with humility.
Yep.
The Lord blessed because he showed humility. And now we just read to show, to see the blessing of discerning wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and our eyesight. As soon as he woke up, he had this matter. Two women. One said it's a baby, the other said, one says it's my baby, the other says my baby. Because he showed humility to the Lord blessed him and gave him the understanding on how to choose to see who child that is. Split him in half. You get one, you get the other. They were like, no, just give him the baby. The other one, no. Split the dang on child in half. I know exactly who child this is. This is her child. You give her the child. That wisdom, knowledge, understanding that Saul just performed in front of everybody happened because he was humble in front of the eyesight of the Lord. And this go hand in glove with the humility that David prayed for in the book of Psalms 51, verses 3 through 5. Humility. Humbling yourself in the eyesight of the Lord. This is a very big thing. So when we pray, man, announce your sin, what you did wrong, and ask God for forgiveness. let's do this thing right. Now let's go to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. And we have two more after this. Colossians 3 and 12. Just that one verse, Colossians 3 and 12. When you get it broke, go ahead and read it.
Colossians chapter 3 and 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering.
Now, they get us a long way. I'm telling y'all, it would get us a long way. Because what they got to understand is that the Lord is actually showing us that love is the big part of this key. Even though we're not really talking about love for the lesson, but I just want to put that up in here. You know what I'm saying? The book said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That humbleness is real big. But let's be mindful of that, and let's be humble in the eyes of the Lord when we're praying, just like how David showed us in the book of Psalms 51, verses 3 and 5. Let's do that. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and let's pick it up at verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 10.
One second. Come on, my pages wasn't sticky all day today. Oh, here we go. Yes, sir. The book of Philippians chapter 4, just that one verse, verse 6. Philippians 4 and 6.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Amen. And that's what David did. All praises. That's what David was doing. That's what Solomon did. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I thank the Father in Jesus' name for giving us the book of Psalms to understand this thing. And when you read Philippians chapter 4 and 6, it says be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Let's do this thing. And we're reading David so we can understand how to do this thing right. Now let's go back into the book of Psalms chapter 51. And it's the last spot. Psalms 51, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we'll close it out.
Psalms 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me.
All praise to the Father in Jesus' name. So what did we learn tonight? We learned that in order to get mercy, you got to be keeping those commandments. Because the Lord said that he give that mercy to those that fear him and keep his commandments. And then it says, then David also announced, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse from my sins. And we understood that the washing David was talking about is the washing of the Word of God. Wash me with the Word of God to cleanse me from my sins. And then we also understood that David declared all his wrong and wickedness and that he needs help. And he can't do this alone. We read that in the verses 3 through 5. It said, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is held before me. Against thee only have I sinned. And during that prayer, we understood that David was in pure humility and asked that of God. And that's what we learned tonight. And I hope somebody got an understanding out of this message in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All praise.
All praise. Look, I just want to say, man, you know, I want to read this Colossians 3:12 again. And because he said this is what the elect put on.
Yes.
You know, this ain't just for anybody, because not everybody got this spirit. Not everybody can put this on. Not everybody, you know, has this spirit. Are you, ask Moses. Because the book said Moses was the meekest man upon all the earth. That's because he was an elect. You see, he had seen God. He understood God. He knew that God lived. He also seen that God was a consuming fire. That I want to read this again. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. So all these things you got to put on, because all these things you ask God to have on for you. Then,
amen.
Verse 13, forbearing one another. There it is again. Forgiving one another. How often shall we forgive one another?
70 times 7.
70 times 7, you know, or as often as anyone asks, you see. And it goes on. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness. So all of these things bring in the perfection of God. And when you seek the Lord for these things, you should have asked him for money and power and armies and stuff like that. If you ask the Lord for, you know, bowels of mercy and love, you know, holiness and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long suffering, and, you know, in the spirit, you know, to be forbearing with your brothers and forgiving one another, you know, and not be quarreling, you know, stuff like that. You don't have this. The Lord is going to make you perfect in the end. You know, you're going to be perfected every day that he has given you. You know, man, so I got to say, bro, this is great precept, man. Thank you for the reminder. And, man, you got to have this spirit in 51, man, because bottom line is, if you don't confess your faults, you still in your sin.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If you don't confess your faults, what, you know, forget about it. You know, so hey, with that, I yield. Amen.
All praises, all praises, all praises. So do we have any words, announcements?
Well, yeah, if anyone else have anything to say, to add to the conversation, the floor is open.
Shalom. Most High and Christ bless.
God bless. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This lesson was right on time. I was reading Psalm 51 this morning on my way into work. This is Sister Deborah. I want to say I hadn't listened to you guys in a long time, but I tell you, all praises to the Most High God. In Jesus' name, thank you. I needed this. Continue to feed the flock. Continue to feed the flock. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. All praises. All praises. You know, the Father is good. So he always on time.
Always. Amen.
Thank you for the words of encouragement, sis. And it's always good to hear from you, Sister DeBoer. And don't be so in the fire between. Check back with us. We love to hear from you. Amen.
I will.
Thank you for
I shall. Your wife keeps me up to date, so I'm grateful.
Yeah, she kind of, she be getting on people's nerves, but you know what? She tried to save
Oh no, she right on. She right on. She right on. All praise.
Amen. Praise God. You hear that, Ray?
Yes, sir. Amen. All praise to the Most High God of Israel. Thank you, sis. Love you.
Amen. Any more questions or comments?
Amen.
It's a great lesson.
Oh yeah, I got like something to say. All praises. You know. Oh yeah, I spoke too soon about my comic book. This bad boy is not going to be out until January. Cause these seraphims is picking a hole in my hand. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know. It's because, you know, it's trying to stay in line with the scriptures and not to draw something I ain't got no business drawing. You know, so basically, you know, I always draw a lot of golden clouds and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? You know, but they said it was a kingdom. I didn't want to draw no kingdom. So basically it's like, okay, how to get over that, you know what I'm saying? But then the seraphims, you know, it said it got, in the book Isaiah chapter 6, it said he got twine twine on his back, twine on his face, twine on his feet. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's six, but it's two in each part. So I drew that over again. But I'm having fun with it. I'm having fun. You know, it's just announced that there's no way possible it's going to be out in December. But look forward, God willing, in January. And if you have any new listeners, just go on Facebook, into the search bracket, and type in Bible Comic. And you'll see Moses splitting the Red Sea. You can't help but, it's the only Bible comic. All praises, you know. And check it out with the other six books I have. So all praises with that, and I get a mic.
Amen. Praise God. And the artwork that we've seen this week, man, I don't know if it's still, you know, under wrap or whatnot, but thoroughly impressed, man.
You like it?
I love it, bro.
Yeah, he loved it so much. He sent it to all his sons, talking about I'm going to be in the comic books.
Oh, praise.
You did a good job.
I'm drawing another one, too. This could be somewhat more realistic. Because I'm working on Nakomi. Nakomi is my next one, and then Sister Red, you're next. And then, it's a whole bunch of them, you know. I like that Joe. I like the second one better, but if y'all like the first one better, then that's cool. I like the second one better, because I put my deep thing into the beard.
Yeah, it's just the beard. You can even keep the second one. It's just his beard is gray. It is not black.
Always.
But both of the
drawings
are
look like you?
I thought it was like for real. I was getting creeped out. You know, but I was like, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I was saying, you know, I was showing it to my son because I was saying, you know, when we get this straight, you can show these to our grandchildren and read the book, and they'd be even more engaged, like in reading more stories from the Bible. They start seeing us instead of, you know, the images that the world put forward, you know.
Amen.
And they all young minds, man, you know, being, you know, from the oldest grannies, what, like seven, you know, and down. So, you know, they're really young, so their minds are really impressionable right now. And to see their own family doing things like that, that makes them only more interested. So it was just, you know, it's got so much to do and a lot of, the work is endless, you know, and it's boundless. It don't have no borders.
Amen.
You know, you just don't know what you're doing, man. You don't have no idea of how far you're reaching out,
amen,
you know, and to the minds that you are teaching to create and the images that they're seeing. You know, is beyond your comprehension because you see things one way, but everybody had their own vision,
amen,
especially a child, you know.
So when they get off into it, man, they see something completely different from what you see, and they see even more, and they do more with it, you know.
Amen.
So you know, my thing is, man, when you complete that piece on them cherubims, man, when they see that, they gonna be like, wee, you know. So all praise, man. We can't wait. Can't wait, man. Just keep bringing it, Joe. Just keep bringing it.
Oh, bro.
Keep bringing it.
It's first. It's X and Stone. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry?
No, you bring that book first, and then we can deal with the fix when you get done with the book.
All praise. But what I'm doing is that, you know, since, you know, it wasn't published at the right time, I always send a picture of what's going on. So if y'all stay on Facebook a little later on tonight, then I'm gonna send a picture on Facebook, and I put y'all names in it, because I also got the cherubims in the middle of the fiery furnace, you know, the fire tornado, the control fire. I got all that. I'm also putting Satan the Devil into it too, because he's a cherubim. And also, I'm also adding the story of Eve to show people what Eve saw in the book of Genesis chapter 3 when she was talking to the serpent. And also breaking down in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 when he described the devil, so he could be blinging in the garden, so people could get an understanding of what she's seen, and destroy that thought of it being a snake or some ugly crow. You know what I'm saying? That's just all that's lurking. She saw beauty, and I'm have to make it beauty, and I have to put him up in there too, so people can get a better understanding.
Right, man.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I forgot to say too, I'm also doing that Daniel, the prophet Daniel been there too. And you know, like how Satan held up Gabriel for 3 weeks? I'm putting all that up in there too. And like how Michael grabbed and Satan the Devil, I'm putting all that up in there too.
Oh, that's dynamic, Jay. That's huge. Amen. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, bro. You know what time it is, bro. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That sounds wonderful. Wonderful. You know, that's the word I choose for. That sounds wonderful. You know. And I don't mean like, you know, like wonderful. I mean like wow. That takes your mind beyond wonders, you know. Because you know.
Yeah,
you know.
I just can't wait to see how he
Yeah.
does. Especially with the angels. You know how they look.
Man, and then to put it together when you got understanding or you know what you're looking at, and it ain't with this Roman Catholicism and this nonsense that they called, what was that, some hell or something, the furnace, some furnace, somebody's furnace or something. It's some old nonsense, some old Roman Catholic picture that they call it somebody's furnace. Some Roman Catholic priest drew this furnace, so people being cast into hell and all of those. It's really a stupid picture. But they say it got something to do with, like, Illuminati signs and all that. It's really dumb. If that's the best you can do, then it don't have nothing to do with God. Okay. All right, I get it. But it don't have nothing to do with God. It's just a dumb picture of an imagination of somebody that's even dumber. They even call that something said they even equate that with the lake of fire is even worse. You know.
Right.
You know, to throw that in the, you know, to throw people in the lake of fire with that nonsense, man. See, that's why people don't believe in it. Because they believe that they're going to be in it swimming around and jumping up and down and howling and screaming. Far from it.
That's your lesson on
that.
That's your Sunday. The Bible runs the Great White
Throne Judgment. Yeah, I want to do that. Great White Throne. And the lake of fire. Yeah.
Amen.
From the Great White Throne to the lake of fire.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So,
Yay, brother. So, if any more comments? If not, Brother Isaiah, you got any closing comments?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I do. As usual. Don't be making no impossible vows. You know, if people ask for something, always say God willing. Another thing, too, is that, you know, we all fall short. You know what I'm saying? And if we know that we all fall short, we all need God's grace and mercy. So let's show other people grace. Let's show other people mercy. You know what I'm saying? And let's do better with, you know what I'm saying? And let's try to work on that. Let's try to work on showing mercy to other people. You know what I'm saying? Because I realized that too. Boy. I thought, boy, now my mind was going, man, I thought I was going to strangle somebody this week. But, hey, the Lord brought it to my attention. Hey, I was bogus for that. And I need to forgive everybody else because I know for dang sure I need God. I need God's grace and mercy. So I got to show myself. You know, this is not pointing a finger at nobody, but just, hey, I'm going through it, and I already told the Lord, whatever I'm going through is going down on paper. Or we talking about it. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is, man, fear God and keep his commandments, and be merciful unto people because we need God's mercy.
Amen.
And I'll get a mic with that.
Amen, brother. Great words. Well, once again, great lesson. Brother Isaiah Brown, man, great precept from the spirit of charity and meekness, a Bible study class, and, you know, what can we say more concerning this lesson out of the Psalm of David 51, you know, chapter 1. Man, that Psalms is like the ground zero for everybody that slip and fall, you know, and that the Father is merciful, you know, that this is how you cry out, you know, and humble yourself, man, before the Lord, man. You did a great job of making sure that we know that. Like that sister DeBoer, man, she said she was reading that earlier, man, and now to come, you know, out of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. So if the Lord is establishing the fact that he is your mercy, then amen, you know, praise be the Lord. You can't get it no better than that, you know. With that being said, once again, brother, I can't wait to hear part two next week. You know, if you bring part two next week, but we can't, you know, Lord's willing, live, you know.
You know what? The Lord has really been showing me some stuff. The Lord is teaching me how to shut up. You know what I'm saying? The Lord is teaching me how to shut up. Because I'm telling you, man, I know for sure I'm doing this precept. Man, about time of the week, oh, man, I'm working on something all the way different.
I know, huh? I'm learning.
Yeah, so I'm going to do it. Hey, I'm going to practice what I preach. Lord's willing, if it's will, we'll do part two. Because the Lord might be bringing something to my head. We might be talking about something else. So I'm going to leave it like that. There's no telling what I'm doing, but so far, God willing, we'll be working on part two.
Okay. Well, either or, we will be anticipating that ministry, man, because it's a great ministry and we definitely need it, man. And it's very necessary and it ministered to our spirit. And this is one of those lessons, man, that just ministered to our spirit. And we thank the Father for giving it to you to get to us.
Amen.
You know,
I'll pray.
It's necessary. You know, we thank him and we bless him for you.
Yes, amen.
So amen. With that being said, tomorrow night, we'll be back again, Sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. Sound of the Living Water. To the increase. Tomorrow evening, we'll be back with the Sounds of the Living Water. And we're dealing with
part two. Should a man look at his wife as a sex object?
Should a man look at his wife as a sex object? Mm-hmm. Well, if you heard part one, you already know. But part two, we want to get a little bit more deep into that. You know what I mean? So,
Let's get into that tomorrow evening. You want to be back here again at 7 o'clock p.m., same channel, same station. You want to be here tomorrow evening for that. The Commonwealth of Israel will be bringing the Should a Man Be Looking at His Wife as a Sex Object. And then it comes the Sabbath day, amen. We're going to be dealing with the creation again, and we're still on day five, you know, and I think we're dealing with the fish, okay, the fish of the sea. So we're going to be dealing with them. And then, and with that, then that's 10 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning, which just so happened to be the Sabbath day, but for identification purpose, 10 o'clock Saturday morning a.m. And then, again, Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m., we'll be with the Sounds of Living Water Sunday Morning Breakfast Brunch. And we'll be dealing with, from the Great White Throne Judgment to the Lake of Fire. Ooh. Well, we already know. We don't want no part of that. You know what I mean? So in order to want no part of that, you're going to have to, you know, like, you really need to learn how to avoid it. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. And Brother Isaiah, once again, thank you for a beautiful message. And we're going to say thank you. And once again, like, as we say here at the Sounds of Living Water,
read your Bible.
Read your Bible. That's right. So read your Bible. And with that being said, we'll say shalom until the Shabbat. Shalom, Israel.
Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
From Genesis to Revelation, preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.